How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Good Tuesday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser on the ones and twos. Hope you're having a great start to your day as we get things going. A lot to get into today. Predators lose to Arizona. I'll have some thoughts. Michelle will have some thoughts on that. But we'll start with the Titans in the NFL as we continue to digest, so to speak, from the Super Bowl. The season is over. We are officially in the off season. It's very sad to be in the off season.
It is very sad.
Hello, Michelle.
Good morning. I was rushing over here. You know that quick
the scramble.
Turnaround. The scramble. So
you have to scramble more than a Titans quarterback with no offensive line.
I don't know about that much. That's a lot of scrambling. but yes, all good. 9 a.m. I feel like it's my afternoon, but happy morning / afternoon for those of you who already were awake.
Yeah, we're just getting started. So I saw something. Well, obviously the news of the day starting off early as the Colts have made it official. Shane Steichen is going to be their head coach, the offensive coordinator, former offensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles. The long search, which, you know, I got to give the Colts and Jim Irsay a little bit of credit because I thought they were just going to drag this out only to name Jeff Saturday the head coach, and they actually hired somebody that, you know, I have no idea how he's going to be as a head coach. I think you can never tell with coordinators, but I like Shane Steichen. You obviously like that offense, what he did in Philadelphia, so they have their guy. So that's it's this long search, and now Arizona remains the only team without a head coach.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised around, I think it was Sunday of the Super Bowl, was when reports came out saying that he was likely going to be their next head coach. I still was just assuming that this search would eventually go on and Jeff Saturday would eventually still be named the head coach. But, you know, it looks like they did cast a wide net. They found their guy. Eagles offense looked great this year, so he had a lot to do with that. But also Nick Sirianni was the Colts offensive coordinator from 18 to 20. So I'm sure he still has a good relationship with that organization and probably gave his OC a pretty good recommendation to them all. So now he'll be the next head coach of the Colts.
Yeah, so congrats to him. He joins the AFC South, the Titans division. This was yesterday on Caroline Willie and D-Mace. The reports had come out that it was going to be Shane Steichen, so Teron Davenport was on and gave his thoughts on Shane Steichen.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting because he was there. I believe it was a QB coach there with the Colts, and he's the OC with the Eagles. If I'm not mistaken, Nick Sirianni was calling the plays. So, ironically, another case of a guy that doesn't get the not calling the plays moniker placed on him while it's placed on Bieniemy. But I know that he's really good working with quarterbacks, and that's, you know, something that they're going to really have to have, right, because they're going to use a high pick on a quarterback, whether it's, you know, one, two, three, or four, wherever they end up picking. So that's what I know. He's a guy that is looked at as a quote-unquote QB whisperer. So we'll see how that works out if they do go about hiring him.
That was yesterday, Teron Davenport on Shane Steichen. Before it was official, now it is official. And the quarterback question is going to be interesting for the Colts because I've always just kind of felt like Will Levis was destined to be in Indianapolis. But, you know, now you kind of read – you know, could Will Levis actually go number one overall? Is he the best quarterback in the draft? I mean, I doubt it, but, you know, you never know. I think basically what we're learning in the combine in a couple of weeks is going to tell us a lot is that teams are just not 100% sure on who the best quarterback in this class actually is.
Well, and teams also don't want to be they don't want to put out there who they're in love with, too, because at the end of the day, it also is somebody.
To their love, Valentine's Day.
Oh, I didn't mean to. But they don't want to put out there who their number one guy is last year. I remember heading into last year's draft, and Junie and I talked about this because obviously we know he's a Steelers fanatic, and they were talking a lot about how they were interested in Malik Willis a lot last year, and that kind of started the hype around Malik Willis and people, you know, looking at him and thinking, oh, could he be, you know, a guy for a certain franchise? And then for Pittsburgh's first round pick, in my head, I'm thinking, oh, they're going to go, which is funny now to think of this about a year ago, but I was fully convinced that they were going to pick Malik Willis. But then they ended up picking Kenny Pickett, which is a guy they didn't really touch on or talk about, because at the end of the day, it still is a game. You don't want sure. to let the other teams know what your cards are and which quarterback that you love the most. I do think that those will be the only three to go in the first round. The other two kind of peeking in are going to be an Anthony Richardson and a Hendon Hooker. I think they'll be early, mid-second. I don't think that – I mean, maybe they could be in the first round if the team thinks that they could, but I personally don't.
I'd be hesitant on both, especially with Hooker and the injury. That's where I think a team like the Titans could come into play, because, you know, I'm one of those that I believe you stick with Tannehill, and then if there's somebody you really, really like that can be a project, more so than Malik Willis, like a Hendon Hooker, I'm not really sold on Richardson. Now, if Hooker's there, then maybe you take that, because he's going to have a redshirt year, and so you know that he's going to have a year where he just kind of develops. You have Dobbs and Willis fight it out for the backup job in training camp, and then see what you got in the quarterback room there. But I think that's interesting, and we're gonna learn a little bit more at the combine. I don't think you learn everything, but it's certainly going to be something to watch. Now, another thing that, you know, we're in that off season mode now. Lists start and power rankings, and so ESPN did their way too early NFL power rankings, and I was like, oh, I'll give it a look, you know, to kind of see. Jacksonville Jaguars are 10th. So everybody's loving the Jags and what they're doing right now. And they have they got some moves they're going to make, because they're about $30 million over the salary cap. So they got to move some stuff around. But
they're lucky Trevor will still be on his rookie deal, because this is only going to be his fourth year in the league?
Third
year. Yeah. Okay. So they're lucky with that, but yeah, they are quite a bit over. And then a key player that they'll be adding next year is Calvin Ridley to that wide receiver room.
Yeah. So, Michael DiRocco, who covers the Jags for ESPN, says the Jags are $30.1 million over the salary cap. GM Trent Baalke is going to have to make some cuts. Cornerback Shaquille Griffin is almost certainly one, and restructure some contracts to get under the cap. Getting this done will make re-signing tight end Evan Ingram and possibly right tackle Juwan Taylor a little easier. Though expect the Jags to be careful with how much money they're pushing into the future, because they'll need to start at least talking about a long-term deal for quarterback Trevor Lawrence after the 2023 season.
Yeah, that's going to be it's going to be the biggest factor of how they arrange certain contracts this year, because they do have to keep in the back of their mind that, you know, coming up, Trevor Lawrence is going to be – you're going to need to pay him, because you're going to want him as your quarterback of the future. We're going to see a lot about how the Eagles team looks next year, okay? So they had this go-for-it roster, Super Bowl contenders, you know, fall short to the Chiefs. But they have a lot of guys that they're not going to be able to bring back next year because of the fact that they need to pay Jalen Hurts. So what is this Jags roster, not this upcoming year, going to look like, but the following year? And what moves are they going to have to make this year to make sure that they can get Trevor the deal that he wants to be their franchise guy?
The Titans are 24th. I'll get to them in just a second. The Colts are 30th. Texans are 32nd. They have a – and this is all the writers that, you know, write that contribute to this. So this is Stephen Holder. Offseason in three or fewer words for the Colts: quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. So, no surprise there. The Colts are still trying to resolve what has been a lengthy coaching search, which they did today. Mm-hmm. But that might not even be their biggest decision of the offseason. With the number 4 overall pick in the NFL draft at their disposal, the Colts have their best opportunity yet to address their years-long quarterback problem. Will they get it right? That is a very good question. For Houston, it's get a quarterback. they obviously have to look at that position and find who their next quarterback is going to be. And then Teron Davenport writes, for the Titans, offseason in three or fewer words, retool the offense. The Titans' offense was 28th in the NFL last season with an average of 17.5 points per game. Derrick Henry remains a legitimate threat running the ball, but Tennessee must find a way to balance things out. The Titans promoted Tim Kelly to offensive coordinator, filling that void, but the uncertainty about quarterback Ryan Tannehill possibly having to replace three starters on the offensive line and the lack of receiving game leave big questions.
Lots of questions. I think my biggest question, though, I don't know if I'm fully confident that Indianapolis will draft a quarterback. I think
if they
should.
Don't.
I think they should, and people are going to call me crazy, but I remember in Chris Ballard's, you know, final press conference, it's like, yeah, no, I don't think we're going to draft a guy. I mean, listen, they should draft a guy, but I would not be surprised if they went to try to get a Derek Carr, if they were trying to get in on Aaron Rodgers. You know, I just am not fully confident yet that I could see them drafting a guy.
Yeah,
I know a lot of people are, and I know they should. I mean, it obviously hasn't worked, this Band-Aid solution, these last couple of years in the quarterback room, but...
Yeah, if they don't, then Chris Ballard, I think, knows that he's dead man walking, just doesn't care anymore. But, I mean, they have to. Like, they can't keep playing this game of going and getting a guy.
I also just don't see how Indianapolis, so Chris Ballard, okay, you draft your rookie quarterback and then you have a losing season. I just don't see how he still has a job with them.
Yeah, well, and I mean, it kind of feels like he just has it just to have it right now. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how much power he has. But the question for several teams will be, can this one quarterback be the answer? And I'm not talking about the one that's on a silence retreat right now. We'll discuss coming up next. It's Chase and Michelle, 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in on this. We'll get to the Preds at the bottom of the hour as well here on 1025, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. We're broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. You can hit us up on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025. And our show presented by Hair Club. Regrow your own natural hair through non-surgical options that deliver impressive results. Learn more at hairclub.com/chase. Talking quarterbacks, and, you know, I listened to Robbie and Rexrode this morning, as you all should, 6 to 9 every day, here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And the Ian Rapoport report about a certain quarterback, not named Aaron Rodgers, came up. And how the Titans may have interests in said quarterback. And that would be Derek Carr. And, you know, I think whenever you see something like that, it's like, okay, I mean, does that mean they're kicking the tires? Does that mean he knows something? All that stuff. I don't know if I would be interested in Derek Carr.
I absolutely would not be. That he's the same as Ryan Tannehill, and Ryan Tannehill's been in this system for the last how many years? I think you're not upgrading. And at this point, Mike Vrabel is not going to tank. Your offense and defense are in two completely different positions. They're not going to tank. That's just point blank, right? Mm-hmm. I can almost guarantee that. Not because I have any inside information or anything like that. I'm not reporting that, but I can say pretty confidently I do not see this team tanking next year to then go get a quarterback. I think they're going to stay with Ryan Tannehill, and they're going to try to win the division because they really are not far from that.
Yeah.
And to go get a guy like Derek Carr, who I think does he even have one playoff win? Maybe one?
I don't think so. I mean, he's a little younger than Tannehill, but he's 31 years old. Rapoport identified the New Orleans Saints, Carolina Panthers, New York Jets, and Tennessee Titans as four teams expected to express interest in Carr. He also says some others will pursue the 31-year-old. Now, the one thing that's interesting about this is since the Raiders are going to release him before the money is guaranteed, he can sign immediately. He doesn't have to wait until free agency begins to sign. And so that does give teams an advantage of, all right, you get if that's going to be your guy. And don't get me wrong. I think he'd be a good stopgap quarterback, but you basically have that in Ryan Tannehill. You have to figure the money part out with Tannehill. You obviously don't want him playing on the contract that he's on, but you're essentially, it's the same guy. You know, it's they're very, very similar in that, you know, they're not an elite franchise guy. You have to be great around them. So why would you not just go with, you know, the old phrase, the devil you know?
Yeah, and him and Mike Vrabel already have a strong connection. He's worked with Tim Kelly this past year. He knows the offense. He's been in this building. So Derek Carr lost, if you remember, it was the 2021 – or sorry, it was 2021-2022 season. They lost to Cincinnati. This was when Cincinnati made it to the playoffs, when the Titans were the one seed, 19-18. So
that's a long time ago. 19-18.
No.
I know. I'm just kidding.
But he threw one interception. So, I mean, he hasn't won a playoff game. Yeah, he only threw one interception. But people are all like, oh, Ryan Tannehill threw three. He only threw one in the postseason. Okay. We don't want to be cheering about that. That's not a stat we want to. But, I mean, I personally think it's – I also don't know, like, what merit does Ian Rapoport have for saying that? Is it just, oh, the Titans could potentially need a quarterback? Is that why we're just looking at a roster that is – you know, would be maybe a good landing spot for a guy like Derek Carr? You know, I think this roster looks better than the Saints roster. I think this roster looks better than the Falcons roster. Mm-hmm. I think it looks better than the Panthers, right? So you just don't know who wants a quarterback, but those are just some of the teams that, you know, I've named that are kind of either in a weird phase where they have a rookie and they could tank, or, you know, I look at Arthur Smith with the Falcons and, you know, his coaching clock is ticking a bit. So I don't know. Are you ready to, you know, play Ritter? Probably not going to win a lot of games if you do that, even though you're not in that great of a division.
Right. I will. I'm going to pose this question to you and to Titans fans, and you can weigh in 615-737-1025. Let's just say for giggles that the Titans do end up signing Derek Carr, and they move on from Tannehill, and Derek Carr is your starting quarterback for, you know, the next couple of years. How would you really feel about that? I mean, I'm not thrilled. I would not be thrilled. I would be like, I'd be skeptical.
I feel like it would just be a move to make a move.
It's a lateral move is what it feels like.
Yeah.
And honestly, now I take that back. I actually think it'd be a downgrade.
I agree.
You know, even though you're going younger, I think it would be a downgrade.
He's younger, but I mean, if you compare their stats over their careers, they're pretty similar. But like we're saying, you're not taking a step up. I do think some fans would look at the silver lining and just think, oh, thank God, you know, it's a new face, it's a different guy, right? Especially after, you know, the performances this year and then losing in the playoffs last year. I think people, the way they view Tannehill is different. And even though him and Derek Carr have had a pretty similar career, Ryan Tannehill has won more playoff games. Like I said, Derek Carr was inactive the first time he went to the playoffs, which was in 2017. Second time, that's when they lost to Cincinnati in 2021, when he was with the Raiders. So Jeff here on the text line says he thinks it would be a great move here in Tennessee.
A great move.
He said a great move. So why? Because he's younger, because he's just a different face. I mean, if you look at the way they've performed, I mean, they're virtually – their careers are very similar. Ryan Tannehill has had more postseason success, though, than Derek Carr.
Okay. I need more context, Jeff. Why do you think it would be a great move?
Okay, we got another text. Joey from Bellevue. Don't put that evil on us, Chase. I'd be disappointed if they brought Carr in. He hasn't accomplished anything yet. And I think that's really fair. I mean, but I think I can understand people trying to look at it as a positive just because it's a new face and they're changing at the quarterback position. For no other reason than that.
What's interesting to me is I don't know if there is a quarterback move that can be made this offseason that people would really like do backflips over. Like, even Rodgers. I think there would be a segment of the fan base that's still going, okay, but how long? And can he win with this roster? Can he and Vrabel get along? Rodgers is weird. You know, what is that going to do? That would probably give you the most excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, if they traded for Lamar, there's probably hype there. But, you know, I mean, I've been pretty outspoken. I'm not a huge Lamar fan. great athlete, but you know, I don't think he's a great quarterback.
I think he would be an upgrade than Tannehill.
Yeah, well, sure, absolutely. And Rodgers would be an upgrade. I mean, because he's Aaron Rodgers. But how excited would the fan base? Like, what quarterback move can be made where the fan base is calling, "Let's go! We're going to win the Super Bowl now."
I personally think, and fans, weigh in. Text us, call us, 615-737-1025. I think the best reaction from the fan base would be if the Tennessee Titans traded up and tried to get one of these young guys.
See, I don't even know. I don't know.
If they got the number one overall pick and drafted Bryce Young.
If it's Bryce Young, do you think
the fan base would be very, very, very excited? A new GM, a new young quarterback. Because if you look around at the division, right, you know the AFC as a whole, we've talked about that. The talent with all of these young quarterbacks is just night and day compared to the NFC.
Yeah.
And you're not changing. You're not changing to the NFC, right? You are fortunate enough to be in the AFC South where, you know, it's probably the worst division right now in the AFC. And they got Trevor Lawrence down in Jacksonville. Houston's going to try to draft their guy. The Colts, if they're smart, would try to draft their guy and not go get a Derek Carr. So I personally think, and fans, let us know what you would think, is if they tried and did a go for it, tried to get that number one overall pick from the Bears.
Okay, that is the question we're asking you right now. What quarterback move that the Titans could make would make you the most excited as a Titans fan? 615-737-1025. You can call, you can text. A lot of you want to weigh in on this. We will get to your phones coming up next. What quarterback move could the Titans make that would get you very, very excited? We will do that next. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Let's get back into your phones at 615-737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Asking the question, what Titans quarterback move this offseason would excite you the most? And look, your answer could be keeping Tannehill. Mm-hmm. And that's a fine answer. Ian Rappaport says, expect Raiders quarterback Derek Carr to receive significant interest when his release is official at 4 o'clock today. But the veteran won't be in a rush to sign. He's already visited the Saints, who are still in the mix, and don't be surprised if more visits follow before a decision. That just coming out a few minutes ago. Let's go to the phones. Wes is going to lead us off. Wes, welcome in.
Hi, Wes.
Wes, you there?
And man, I have my phone on mute through the commercial break. I apologize.
You're good.
Oh, man, good morning, guys. So I have held all of my Derek Carr takes to myself. I haven't said anything about it because I really needed to think about it. But this is all I'm going to say about the matter. Whenever we had Mariota and he was struggling, we reached out to Miami to get Tannehill. I remember this kind of being the same thing. People were like, you know, why are we going with Tannehill? We've got something in Marcus minus the injuries. But I was kind of for that because I saw potential in Ryan at Miami. Now, with this situation, I do kind of feel like when Tannehill got pulled into the Tennessee Titans, that he had this fight, like, man, Miami didn't want me. You know, that's fine. I'm going over here, and I'm going to be the best that I possibly can, and I'm going to make them regret it. Unfortunately, he came up short more than not. So with Derek Carr, I kind of see that same thing where the Raiders are saying, oh, you know, he's not a good quarterback. I do think that Derek Carr could help this team and kind of rejuvenate this team because he wants it so bad. He wants to prove everybody wrong so bad that I think bringing him here to a team that really, really wants this, that the mindset is kind of the same. So I don't think it's a terrible thing as long as it's not extremely expensive. But Derek Carr could be beneficial to this team.
Thanks for the call, Wes. Appreciate it. Yeah, the chip on his shoulder. I mean, Tannehill had the chip on his shoulder. And I remember I was sitting at the SEC tournament when the Titans made the move to trade for Ryan Tannehill. And I went, looked at the deal. Miami was keeping some of the money. It was a pretty good deal for the Titans. And I was like, ooh, insurance policy. That's what that is. That is an insurance policy. And it turned out to be one of John Robinson's better moves because it was.
Probably one of his best moves, honestly.
Yeah, I 100% agree. But, again, The quarterback move the Titans can make that would excite you the most. What's the text line saying?
Text line is blowing up right now. Okay. We got one texter who says, kind of a weird thought, but I really like the Lamar idea. He's a phenomenal runner, and with Henry also in the backfield, then defenses would be forced to sack even stack the box even more. This would make it easier to throw, why primarily for 1 year it has shown Lamar can be an effective passer. I don't know why I get the sentiment why everybody's like, oh, Lamar can't throw. He literally won MVP. The guy can throw.
A couple years ago.
Okay.
He won the MVP not because he can throw. He won the MVP because he's a really, really good athlete. I mean, he has changed that position.
Okay. But if you are winning the MVP, you can throw. I don't care what anyone says. If you are winning the MVP, you can throw.
He can throw, but can he and Jalen Hurts make the same kind of throws? I would say no.
Yes.
I think Jalen Hurts is a better passer. I do. I think
really?
I do.
Give Lamar Jackson, DeVonta Smith, and A.J. Brown, and we can have that conversation.
Okay.
I think if he had receivers, I think this would be an interesting dynamic because I don't think he would have great receivers. I mean, have a Treylon Burks. That's a huge question, too, on
sure.
Who else he would have. Another texter texts in. This is Jeff again from Tennessee on the Derek Carr front. And he said, we have to try something new. Tannehill just isn't in it. Isn't it? He can't read a defense. Watch him when he comes up to the line of scrimmage. He doesn't even look over the defense. He just runs the play that was called in. And that was Jeff.
All right, let's go to Weston. Weston wants to weigh in. Weston, you're up.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. One thing I will mention that nobody's really talked about this offseason that could be a detriment to the Titans keeping Tannehill is Tampa Bay. Tom Brady's now retired. That's probably the only market that's really interested in possibly Tannehill. If they decide to trade up for the number one pick because they need a quarterback, then we're either stuck with Tannehill or we have to trade him or do something. What I think would be best for the team, in honesty, is probably going after Rodgers, just because, I mean, he's proven he can win a ring, and I think it's just a time for a change of scenery for Rodgers to get his mind straightened out.
All right, thanks Weston. Guys. Okay, he has won a ring, but it was a long time ago. And that's, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt. Mm-hmm. I do think that's a good point that, you know, a change of scenery might do him good. You know, I've heard Jared say, you know, that he doesn't know if Vrabel and Rodgers would get along. I actually think Rodgers would like playing for a guy like Vrabel. It's just, is Vrabel, you know, would Vrabel reciprocate that? But, you know, Vrabel can be a hard ass, and I think that's what Aaron Rodgers kind of needs.
I also think that, you know, the dynamic between Rodgers and LaFleur wasn't great, right? You know, LaFleur's a younger guy, and we've seen the clip videos of, you know, Rodgers ripping him a new one on the sideline if he didn't like something. He's been very vocal about it. He's also been vocal about the organization and different things that, you know, he likes and dislikes. But just based off the way that Aaron Rodgers speaks about Vrabel, the way that Vrabel is viewed across the league, because he's been there, he's been on Super Bowl winning teams, he has this level of respect from these players that I feel like if Roger came in here, like, he has the mentality with Vrabel of just like, we want to win. I want to ring. I mean, Rodgers at this point in his career, he needs to win another ring. He is at the point where he's like, I'm playing to win another ring. Because I will be talked about as, you know, one of the greatest, but I only got one ring. That's what everybody says. Oh, well, but you only got one ring.
Right.
Which is going to be his kryptonite.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes can say something that Rodgers can't. He's got two, you know. So, I mean, he has that.
Yeah.
Right now. Wes
Jimmy Garoppolo has two rings.
That's from the Patriots.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, you're right. Wes in Clarksville says, lots of Wes's on the show today. I never hear my name on the show. Well, there you go, Wes. He also says,
Wes and Weston.
Only quarterback that I'd want over Tannehill would be Brady. Well, I don't.
He filed his paperwork. He's in retirement.
That still doesn't mean anything, but I think he's done. I think he's done. We'll see. I love J.J. Watt's response. You see that?
He's like, oh, I didn't know we had to do that.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. Let's go to Scott. Scott wants to weigh in on what quarterback move that would excite you. Scott, go ahead.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Since Brady is off the table, I'm going to say something that's going to be really out of bounds, and a lot of people are going to be shaking their head. But okay, to me, you run it back one more season at least with what we have, because it's in place. Everybody knows the system. Get everybody healthy, because that's a big part of the whole thing anyway, is getting people healthy and getting some better players around Tannehill. And I don't know what the latest projections are on this. I'll just be honest and say I haven't researched it. But, man, if Stetson Bennett is hanging around in the fifth round, take the guy. All he has ever done is win. And if anybody says, well, he'll never be the next Drew Brees, well, then that's just a bigger chip growing on Stetson Bennett's shoulder to say, I'm going to show about 28 teams why you should have picked me. And I'm just like, what? Why is this guy not being talked about when all he has ever done is win? And if you say, well, he had great players around him, and he absolutely did, but he's not a game manager. He is a gamer. He's a gamer. He knows the game. He knows how to throw. He knows how to read defenses. I mean, bring him in. And if it doesn't work out, what did you spend on him? About a fifth-round pick or wherever he is picked, if he's even picked there. So I know that's out there, and I'm not even a Georgia fan. I'm a South Carolina guy and a Georgia Southern grad. Speaking of, Georgia Southern was one of the very few schools that actually offered him, but he never got a Power 5 offer. He just wanted to be a Bulldog. I want to be a Bulldog. And sure. And all he's ever done his whole time is just say, I'm going to win. I'm going to go out there and win the game. So, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but take a flyer on a guy like that, and if it doesn't work out, you didn't spend a third-round pick like you did on Willis, you know?
All right, Scott, appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott.
Now, that is outside the box.
Very.
And our sales director, Sean Fort, probably is very excited to hear that, because a big Georgia fan. But I'm gonna say no, because I just everything – people I've talked to, everything I've read is that he's just not an NFL prospect. Now, could be wrong. He could develop. Like he said, you're only spending a fifth-round pick, so – you know, if he's there, maybe that's, you know, depending on what other moves that you have made. But if I'm going to spend a not first round pick on a quarterback, I'm waiting to see where Hendon Hooker lands.
Yeah. And, you know, as far as, you know, looking at Stetson's career in Georgia and talking about him, you know, reading those college defenses, let's also just think too, you know, he's my age out there playing with, you know, 18, 19, like the maturity level and just the years he's had under his belt learning the game of football, but then also playing with guys still at the college level. You know what I mean? Like he's had that many more years of learning the game and in practices and, you know, watching film and just all of that. I mean, listen, this year we saw Mr. Irrelevant on the 49ers make it a game away from the Super Bowl. I'm never saying never, but you know, it would have to be, I don't think for this team, I think, you know, it would have to be one of those unique situations where, you know, he tries out for a team, you know, maybe in training camp or makes a practice squad. I mean, I'm not ruling out the fact that he could be, you know, maybe a backup someday. He is small, which will hurt him, right? His size out there. I think that's like where you see, you know, like a Hendon Hooker is much bigger than him, you know, stronger arm, things like that. I wouldn't do it because I do think that this team has so many more holes that maybe a fifth round pick could be, whether it's a backup lineman or a backup linebacker or a backup left tackle or something like that. I just think that this team has so many different holes that they don't really have the luxury of using a fifth round pick on a guy like a Stetson Bennett.
Yeah.
I mean, the 49ers, they had the luxury of, you know, picking Mr. Irrelevant as a like, quarterback because they have a full roster.
Right.
Like, you actually need those fifth round picks. They're so crucial to this roster because they need so much depth on this team. That
David Long Jr.
Yeah, I just think that you shouldn't waste it on a quarterback that is not going to be, or a guy that's just not going to be effective for you.
Real quick, Sam's been waiting patiently. Sam, go ahead. Sam.
Hey, John. I would prefer Rodgers here in Nashville, but one option that I think, based on what you were talking about earlier with Arthur Smith, and needing, you know, to extend his timeline in Atlanta, I really could see Tannehill being traded to Atlanta because he's already familiar with the system, and also that would extend Arthur Smith's timeline, and maybe for the draft picks that you get back from Atlanta for trading Tannehill, you could use those to replace what you may give up to get Rodgers in the thing.
All right, good call. Yeah, I don't know how – I don't know what kind of draft picks you'd get, but Atlanta would make sense. If they went another direction at quarterback – well, I mean, Atlanta's at eight? Well, they're not – I don't think Tannehill's going to get you a first. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't think you get a first-round pick for him because of the contract. I mean, and you'd have to rework some stuff. You may have to eat some money. But Atlanta makes sense for Tannehill.
I actually was thinking about that earlier today when we were talking about, you know, the different divisions. We were talking about Derek Carr to New Orleans, and then Atlanta came up and Arthur Smith came up. We were talking about, you know, his clock, time clock ticking, right? Mm-hmm. He needs to start winning games, and that's a division where Ryan Tannehill could go there. I mean, Atlanta almost won that division this year with Brady in it. They were only, you know, a game or two away. The Bucs won it kind of last minute towards the end of the year, but I mean, that is definitely a move that Atlanta could make. You get a guy like Tannehill. He's very familiar and was successful with Arthur Smith. And it's a division that if you figure out the quarterback position, because we do not know what's happening in Carolina. We don't know what's happening with the Saints. We don't know what's happening with the Bucs. So I think that could be a good move.
Yeah, no doubt. We will get back into this later in the show. We'll get Chris Sanders' thoughts on it, too, at 10:30. But coming up next, it's the Power Play. We'll talk to Max Herz. We'll do that next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It's time for the Daily Power Play.
And the score! A power play goal for the Predators.
Covering the Predators and the NHL.
With a shot that stopped by Searles.
Now on Chase and Michelle.
The Power Play, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We'll try and catch up with Max Herz in just a few minutes. Wake up, Max. It's time to talk some hockey. But we'll do that. And the Predators fall last night 4-2 to the Arizona Coyotes. And I'm just going to say, you can't lose to a team like the Coyotes. I heard David Poile this morning. I could hear the frustration in his voice. The fans are frustrated. Everybody should be frustrated. Certainly understand it. And that's where this team is at right now. John Hines is frustrated. But you can't lose to a team that comes in here 18-28-8 when you are trying to, you know, get on, you know, get right the ship and you're in a playoff battle. And you know, the thing is they're close. They're close to a playoff spot. That's why those 2 points are so valuable, because you got the best team in the league coming in here Thursday that, you know, no one's giving you a chance to win. And that's going to be a test for you. You would have much rather have had 58 points today instead of just sitting at 56.
I mean, throw Vegas in there too. That was a winnable game for you, right? And you came out slow after the break. Then you go to Philly. You're able to squeeze one out in overtime. And then a team in your division who you outshot yesterday, 31-19, couldn't get anything going. And, you know, Forsberg, your best player, he's injured. He's not in. You got Philip Tomasino who came up. But this team offensively, and you mentioned, Chase, you could hear the frustration in David Poile's voice. And Robbie and Joe, you know, brought up, like, fans saying, you know, they're frustrated with the coaching, they're frustrated with the players. And David Poile's answer really was, he was saying, I mean, last year we saw some of these guys performing at their peak level, and we just haven't been seeing that this year. And the inconsistencies, I think, have been probably the most frustrating thing from Preds fans that I've seen, whether it's on our text line, whether it's talking to them on Twitter. But just 1 week, you know, before the All-Star break, right? They're on a roll. Okay, feeling confident. Things are kind of starting to see like they're evening out. The offense is figuring out things, and then you get the long break and that Vegas game, and then somebody texted in this morning and said there was booing last night during that loss. And, you know, the offense has just been a problem for this team. You just seem like they need to be winning 2-1 games, and they can't really – they just can't get anything in the net. They're making the shots, but nothing's falling.
They have great goaltending, whether it's Juuse Saros or Kevin Lankinen, and it's just getting that run support. And, you know, defensively last night, I mean, you're letting four goals go in for Arizona, which is just not good. Now, they were without Philip Forsberg, who's day-to-day with an upper body injury. They recalled Phil Tomasino from Milwaukee, and he made his return to the Predators lineup last night. Predators general manager David Poile was on with Robbie and Rex Road earlier today, and of course was asked about both Forsberg and Tomasino.
Yeah, it was a very scary, you know, situation. The good news is Phil's, you know, pretty good, but you know, we're just being cautious and taking a little time. So I really don't have any update for you. He's not going to play on Thursday, for example, but hopefully this will be a short-term situation. As you see, we called up Phil Tomasino. You've asked me that on a couple of shows. So really, Phil got his place, if you will, on the top two lines. You know, we had a good start to the game last night. I think he had a really good scoring opportunity, but it was okay. I like a lot. We all like a lot about what Phil brings. And again, it's now we need him more than ever. So for you and for those that were asking for Phil Tomasino, here he is, and hopefully he can make a difference. And he's like I say, he's not playing the fourth line like he did last year. He's going to get prime time, prime minutes, and hopefully he can produce, because we really need some goals.
Philip Tomasino last night had 14:47 of ice time, 17 shifts. He registered just one shot on net, but and had a minus one, but made his return to the lineup. And you know, I'm hoping he can stick. Now, you've heard me say this, and I've referenced Barry Trotz. You know, overcook a guy in Milwaukee if you want him to be in the top six for you. David Poile referenced it there. He's not on the fourth line. You want him as a top six guy. I do think that there's room for him even when Philip Forsberg comes back. And I know David talked about that a little bit more, but I think he's a guy that can help you right now as you're trying to find offense, because we're going to get into whether they should sell or not, here in a few minutes. But you're at a point with this team where you got to start maybe looking to next year. And I think that Phil Tomasino is obviously a part of your future. And if you're at that point where you're going to sell off some assets, then you need to see what some of these young guys are doing. It, you know, add him to the mix of some of the young guys that have already been helping you, like a Parson and Tommy Novak, you know, guys
Cody
that
Glass.
Have, Cody Glass that have come up and done a really nice job. It's time to start evaluating that younger talent and moving on from there. So I'm glad that he's up. Even when Forsberg's back, I hope that he stays in the lineup.
Yeah, I agree. I think that anybody who you can have in your lineup right now who can help you offensively, and just giving him the experience, right? If you think that, okay, at the deadline, it might be – so David Poile did say this morning that as of right now, they're not looking to sell. But, you know, if a couple games pass and they're like, okay, you know, pulling the trigger on, okay, we're gonna try to sell at the deadline and really focus on our young guys and getting them the experience out there. I mean, we've seen what that's done for Yusuf Parsonen this year. We've seen how Cody Glass, a year in Milwaukee last year, the production that he's had on the ice this year, a guy like Tommy Novak. If Philip Tomasino can, you know, get in there, just get some experience, and then by the time next year comes around, that they can have, you know, just more NHL games under their belt. But I think what we're seeing right now is the veteran players being very, very inconsistent. I mean, last year we saw them perform at their peak. Duchesne, Forsberg, and Josi, and Jussi for that matter, were at their peak. Jussi's fine. Goaltending, that's fine. But those guys offensively, right, they broke records. They had 40-point seasons. Incredible. And that team still barely made the playoffs and got swept. Although I know that the Avalanche went on to win it all and swept other teams, you know, in the playoffs. But that, I think, is the problem. I think some of the stars on this team, if they're not performing at their tip-top level, it's really hard for this team to compete with other teams in the league.
Yeah. Should the Predators sell at the deadline? We will discuss that coming up next. A little news out of the NFL. Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator for Georgia, looks like he's going back to the NFL. He's going to join the Baltimore Ravens as their offensive coordinator. So the defending national champion, two-time national champion Todd Monken, going back to the NFL as OC for the Baltimore Ravens. Should the Predators sell at the deadline? We will discuss that Coming up next in hour number two, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.